Yes, my friends, you're listening to the Olivet Discourses, and we will discuss many issues tonight, but basically we're going to discuss the art of biblically listening to God as he speaks to us. So we celebrate the holidays, but we cannot help but to recognize that the nation is in deep trouble. Now, what can we attribute this national dilemma to? Well, I believe that the nation has lost its will to listen in a bibliocentric manner. You know, I just heard Brother Mike go off, and I just so much appreciate the White Horse Inn and what those brothers are saying. And some of you may be sitting up there and saying, oh, all they did was just picked a fight with someone. No, they didn't. They told some bibliocentric truth. They wanted you to zero in and listen and to think it through as a Christian. Do we follow hooks and handles, modes of operations, or are we those kind of Christians that follow the Word and the Word of God alone? So we're going to talk about the art of listening from the biblical perspective. Now, there it is. You said it again. Oh, Pastor John, why are you always right? Well, I'm not always right. I like to be on the cutting edge of the Bible. If one listens good, that person demonstrates very good understanding. Let me give you a good example. You know, this was graduation week in many of our schools in our community, and I had the privilege of attending a graduation at a local grammar school in the community. And let me share this right now. I was not appalled. I was grateful at what I experienced. There was this wonderful music teacher in this school, and she had the entire fifth grade class. There must have been three or four classes there, and you know, when they're getting ready to go on into middle school, they practice singing songs together. And this wonderful, and I don't know whether this dear lady was a Christian or not, I believe that she has a sense of knowing what needed to be said and done. But listen, this is what she did. She told the parents that were sitting out there in the school auditorium that the children would sing four verses of God Bless America. When she said that, at that time, I was just looking down. I was expecting to hear what you usually hear. People have our children singing about the frogs and about the weather and getting in touch with nature and, you know, getting in touch with their uncle, the tree stump, and all this kind of stuff. But she said that we were going to sing the four verses or two or three verses of God Bless America. And she said that in the third verse that there would be some decisive definitions of God and who he is and what he was. Well, I began to look at the brother that was sitting next to me, and I said, praise God. And she made this statement. She says that the Supreme Court says that we can mention his name during graduations and things like that. And I would mention his name anyhow. You know, I would never go to a school and someone tell me that I cannot mention God's name in school. I would go there and say, you heathens need to bow your head, and we're going to ask the blessings of God on these children's lives, because if there is no blessings of God, they have no hope at all. But it was just refreshing to hear that verse sung when they're singing about. And then she ended up the finale with "Keep your eyes on the grand old flag." You know that song. It's a grand old flag. It's a high flying flag. La da di ya da da. And man, it just stimulated in all of us older folk in the room, you know, a kind of a sense of that's the way it was when I went through the L.A. Unified School District. We sung songs about God. We sung songs about being loyal and faithful to country. We were those kinds of individuals. Even though I, being a black man, grew up in the community and grew up in those difficult situations. As a matter of fact, if any of you know anything about South Central Los Angeles, we lived quite a number of years in the Will Rogers Projects right there on 103rd and Central Avenue. So I wasn't one of those kind of guys that had a silver spoon stuck in my mouth. No, grew up in the ghetto, went to 96th Street School, Compton Avenue School. Is that ringing a bell? You guys know where those schools are? Okay, graduated from Markham Junior High, went to Edison Junior High, went on to Jordan High, then graduated from Fremont High. You guys got it yet? Right there in the community. And we used to sing those kind of songs. And then when I got to an age when they were fighting that BIC war, you know, the BIC one in Vietnam, and I got drafted, I didn't fight. I didn't try to run off anywhere like some folk in government, you know. Well, I have a deferment. What do you mean? Well, my mommy and daddy's rich, so I don't have to go and fight and maybe die for the country. And then they talk all this highfalutin, I love America. Oh, shut up. You wouldn't even put on a uniform. At least make some biscuits in the mess hall. But anyhow, lest I step on somebody's feet. You see, we have a lot of weaklings in this country now, and now when God and patriotism and everything comes up, we don't want to do that, but we're listening and watching movies about, you know, the life of the bullfrog and his masterful, you know, journey out, getting in touch with yourself. And well, it was just grand to sit in that school auditorium and hear those two songs. And I want to commend Carol. You're probably listening right now. Ma'am, I want to commend you and pray for you that you continue to do with those wonderful children what you did. Now, if those of you are sitting out there and you think that I'm old-fashioned and old-fogish, let me tell you something. You need to go and see some of those old films about, you know, Normandy Beach and see folk dying, and so that you can sit in your air-conditioned whatever and enjoy life. People, you see, you know, when we talk about Independence Day, now let's just come down to the nitty-gritty. I thank God Almighty for this country. And there's a lot of folk in this country that's using it up and abusing it. And Christians, you know, you went to church today. And I'm not even going to ask you what your pastor preached about, because if he preached about the country, he blew it. He should have been preaching about Jesus. I did not preach about the country. I talk about the country on the discourses. See, now's the time for the country. And Sunday morning, we're supposed to be learning about Jesus and thanking him for the country that we live in. But for those of you that do not listen very well, you are offended at what I'm saying now, and I would ask you to buy a ticket and get to quick and get out. You don't belong here. You see, there's too many people in this country now that won't even lift a finger to defend it and won't say anything about it when it's wrong. Friends, we need to go back to the way it was. At least believe in something, but we're talking about listening to God tonight, aren't we? Listen, if one listens good, that person demonstrates a very good understanding. What do you think Jesus meant when he began to say these words in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 16? Therefore, speak I to them in parables, Jesus says, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then in verse 14 he says, and unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and in no wise perceive. In other words, do you know what Jesus was saying? We claim that we hear, but we don't hear. Did you hear what I said? What are you singing to your children on this 4th of July weekend? What are you gathering about? When you talk to them about freedom, is it the kind of freedom that we read about in the scripture? If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Because if we're not talking about that kind of freedom, you can have liberty and life in the pursuit of happiness, but if you do not have spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin in your lives, well, then it's all for nothing. So I believe that it would do us well to investigate what the Lord is saying when he says, I have to speak to some folk in parables. I believe that Jesus makes it perfectly clear that you say you hear, but you don't hear, nor do you understand. Many of you have been listening to the discourses, and for whatever the reason may be, you may have something against me, and you shouldn't. As a matter of fact, you should call. The number is 1-800-350-5552 if you'd like to share in this discussion about listening to God in a bibliocentric way and how we can get back on the track of listening to the right kind of words. Let me also share something else with you as we continue to dialogue, because I think that listening involves a person's look into the very scriptures that they claim to love. What we do is we listen, but we don't listen with the intent to learn. Listen to me, Christian church. What you've heard me say in the introduction is very... How many of you went to a graduation? Now, I know that many people that it's in the vet did. We had a lot of children graduating. Family and friends went. And one of the brothers at the vet went to a graduation, and he said that some of the children got up there and started talking about... Now it's our time. Now, you know, that's a frightening thing when you look at some of these young people today when they get out of school. and for them to get up and say, it's our time, we're going to do it our way. I'm going to tell you something. You have kids coming out of school now. They don't have any idea of who God is, what morality is, and they're going to do it their way. The country won't last another 30 years. What we need to do as a group of individual Christians, especially during Independence Weekend, is we need to start dialoguing what true spiritual independence is, and then to recognize that the country that we once had no longer exists. I was amazed. I was sitting around my home the other night, and I heard fireworks and everything going off. I thought the folk were firing howitzers a couple of houses down. Kaboom! I said, what is this? All the lights flickered in my house. Friends, I'm going to tell you, if some of you folk are out there setting off cannons in the backyard, that is not what your freedom is for. How many of you are going to pull out that pistol and start, oh, listen, I know it. You're going to have cousin come by. He hasn't been by all year, but he's going to pull out that pistol he has and shoot it all off all night long and scare the old lady to death that live next door to you. You're going to let your kids go out with their friends, right? They're going to go cruising all up and down Crenshaw Boulevard, right? That happens in our community. If you live in Van Nuys, we're going to be cruising in. If you live in East LA, you're going to be cruising down Whittier Boulevard. That's not celebrating spiritual freedom. But at times, I see Christians involved in that. How are you listening, my friends? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 says, so as to incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Are you listening with spiritual wisdom? Or are you listening with the wisdom of the world? Christians, listen to Pastor John tonight. You may have the friends over for that barbecue. You may have them over to jump in the sauna with you or whatever you all are doing on this so-called Independent Weekend. But if there has not been spiritual liberty in your heart, if you have not been declared not guilty by Jesus, you can have all the fun in the world. You can go to the beach. You can go to Magic This. You can go to Dizzy whoever. And if Christ is not there, you are just miserable flesh pots trying to have fun. How many of you took that extra 2 days off to have a long weekend? Now, since you have those 2 days off to spend that long weekend, how many of you fathers are going to be spending that adequate time with your children? Just sitting down in the backyard, hugging that male son of yours. Listen, men from my community, you got that extra day off, you got a couple of sons, right? You need to sit down in the backyard and just hug them. Hold them in your arms and tell them how much you love them and how grateful you are that God gave them to you. How many of you mothers, instead of going down to that mall, getting into oblivion, spending that $50 and $60 and $70 or $80 to put a piece of trash on their back and so that they can walk around and look like Bozo the Clown, why don't you spend some time with your daughters teaching them how to be godly, teaching them how to come across when young boys pass them in the mall and try to pull at them and talk with them instead of having them giggling and following the whore company. Oh, am I stepping on some toes? How many of you are really going to spend that adequate time with your loved ones this quote-unquote holiday weekend, you Christians? And I'm not saying that you're to meet and just have a Bible study every day because, you know, I like potato salad and fried chicken too and like going to the park and to the beach. But how many of you will sit next to that other couple in the park and see that mother that's wrestling with something and she needs someone to go over there and share the Lord with her, but you're too busy trying to have fun, and if somebody gets in your parking space in the park, you're going to cuss them out. Oh, preacher, don't say that, man. You know how the church is. No, it says, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and to apply thine heart to understanding. My brothers and sisters, how are you listening tonight? Also, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says, listen to this. It says, hear, my son, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I believe that we as a church have become dull of hearing, dull in understanding. You can hear good men of God speak about an issue, and instead of you addressing that issue in your life, you're saying, this man of God is messing up my weekend. Let me tell you or share something with you. God's going to mess up your eternity. I feel that tension. God is not concerned, America, about barbecue and fireworks and waving the flag unless justice runs down like a mighty stream. Oh my gosh, in our community we have a new theater complex. And wasn't it great? I passed by it and you couldn't find a place to park. And that's great. We have a famous person that donated a lot of money, and that's fine, and that's great. But I wonder how many moral movies will be shown there. How many stage shows will be put on there talking about decency and morality? Are we going to just go and stuff our minds with films that will pollute our young men and show them how to fire an Uzi and to hate other folk? Oh, wake up, South Central. We don't need any more of that. We need movies that talk about educating our children to send them to school and so that they can pass the SATs, the MATs, the MTAs, the RCAs, the whatever it is. We don't need movies trying to show us how to be gangsters and how to pimp and how to sell dope in our community. Oh, wait a minute. Am I stepping on toes? Are you, brother or sister entrepreneur, making too much money? Are you happy because the money is flowing? My friends, when your heart stops and your life ends, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether it be good or bad. My friends, Independence Day, I wonder if we're truly freed, or I wonder are we living in fantasy land. Some of you are going to go on the 4th and you're going to get on the, you can call it the Colosso, the Colossa, the Colossus. You can ride it backwards, upside down. And once you get off and the thrill is gone, God will have that inevitable question confronting you. What have you done for me today? Oh my God, what kind of preacher is this? A true one. You're listening to the Olivet Discourses here live at 99.5 FM. That number to call if you'd like to discourse about yours. And welcome back to the Discourses. This is Pastor John, and you're listening to the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA 99.5 FM, the talk of Los Angeles. And I want to thank you for tuning in. To the brothers that were with me a couple of weeks ago on the panel, take heart. We will put in the mail this week the tape of you brothers that was on that interview with us. And I'm also pleased to announce that hopefully, maybe I think the last Sunday night of August, we're going to have a representation of the UCLA campus of Athletes in Action. We're going to have some Christian athletes on the discourse with us. And we're going to have Brother Rod Hairston on with me. And we're going to be talking about what Christ is doing through some Christian hearts on the UCLA college campus there. And so why don't you join us hopefully on that last Sunday of August. We'll have Rod on, and Rod's a good brother. I love that brother. He's very active in Christianity on the university campuses, not afraid to share his faith. And so we're looking for Brother Rod to also come on. We would also ask you to pray for Brother Delano Robinson. Delano now is probably in Ohio with his new ministry and his Bible church there in Cincinnati, Ohio. Continue to pray for Pastor Delano Robinson. We're very grateful. Delano was on with us a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about the way to listen and the way to listen to gain spiritual independence. It's one thing. You see, and let me share something else since we're talking about freedoms, and you know, we readily do that. We speak about freedom, but we take it rather lightly. And so I think that we have a very interesting call. And so let's go to the city of La Crescenta and say hello to Lenny. Lenny, thank you for calling the discourse, brother.
Hi there.
Hi.
My name's JR.
I'm sorry, JR.
Okay.
I have JR, not Lenny. Okay, I got the wrong one up there. Okay, so I hit the wrong button. JR, what's your statement?
Okay, actually, I got a couple of points to make. The first one,
go ahead.
What's a pastor?
Huh?
What's a pastor?
What is a pastor?
Yeah.
Well, it all depends upon your question. Where are you coming from?
Okay, well, when you say you're Pastor John, What does that mean, Pastor?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this the first time that you've ever listened to the discourses?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in, JR. What a pastor is he is a... He is, I'm surprised, I've never been asked that before. I am a preacher, I am a minister, I am the senior pastor of a biblical church. A pastor is a shepherd over a congregation. He is one that God has put in charge of a spiritual body of Christians. He teaches them the word of God. He admonishes them to live for the praise of God's glory. He is a teacher. He is a lecturer. He is a counselor. He is an instructor. He is also one that admonishes. He builds up and he tears down. He comes against the evil of this wicked age. His major enemy is Lucifer, the devil, Satan, all wickedness. He is a lover of God. He believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He believes that Jesus is alive now and that Jesus is coming to take his church, the elect, to heaven when he comes back to this planet called Earth. That is what a pastor does. A real one sounds like me most of the time.
Is a pastor anything like a rabbi?
A pastor is similar to a rabbi. Jesus was the rabbi of rabbis. But if you're speaking about a rabbi today, you're speaking about someone that is exclusive towards Judaism. But I would not say that a pastor is like a rabbi in that sense, no.
Okay, I'll get back to that point. Oh, we're talking. I guess your topic is independence.
Independence and spiritual liberty. Yes.
When you were younger, I'll make my point as we go along.
Okay.
When you were younger, what did you used to do for the Fourth of July?
Well, when I was younger, I used to set off fireworks just like everybody else does eat, potato salad, fried chicken, drink red Kool-Aid, get whippings from my parents,
And, yeah, that's pretty much how we all grow up. But
right.
As I was listening in on what you were saying, it was almost as the message was a little bit different.
Of course it is.
Wisdom, I guess, as we get older, we learn a little bit more.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I guess I'd like to point out is really with religion nowadays, the younger generation doesn't really have get a sense of that the older generation can understand them because of the fact that their attitude or their opinion of how they should spend, for example, 4th of July. It's almost as if there's no fun when you associate religion with a young person's heart.
Well, JR, you're absolutely right, my brother. What Christianity does, keeps the individual on the cutting edge, because what it does is Christianity is a faith that is one that is attributed to absolutes. In other words, God has absolutely spoken, and we are to absolutely respond to what God has said. And so my answer to you would be, you have to continue to listen to the discourses to pick up a sense of what Christianity is. A lot of people, for the first time, when they listen in to us and they hear my statements, and I do make statements like that that kind of sets people on edge, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the Christian community to compare what they are doing with what the Word of God tells them to do. Okay? And so that's what Christianity does. Christianity is on the cutting edge because what it does is it gives you no choice. God has said, and we will respond. So, I'm very faithful to, the government, the country. I mean, I love a parade and fireworks and all of that. But what I'm doing is I'm saying, is America really, really free? Is America really, really into obeying God? And I would say, JR, absolutely not.
Okay, and I guess my real point, Paul, was that, I guess, excitement that every youth has.
Yes.
Be lacking once you get into the religious aspect. I would like to offer something similar to the younger.
I really am. But I think that you need to look. It's not about what Mike said on the White Horse Inn. It's what Jesus says in the pure Word of God. Because, see, Horton isn't the standard. John Coleman, sure enough, ain't the standard. And if you want to drop names, John MacArthur is not the standard, and John anybody is not the Word of God is the standard. It's the standard. Peter and John told this man, look at us, and we are going to tell you what you need to hear. What I want you to do is to hear the Word of God. Another good characteristic of a good listener is that he's not fidgety. John chapter 18, verses 19 through 22. The high priest therefore asked Jesus of his disciples and of his teaching. You see that? Even the high priest was listening to what Jesus said. Jesus always had his contemporaries What is this man talking about? Why is this man coming here turning over our world? You know, you have to think about Jesus, my Lord. When he spoke to the preachers in his day, he called them hypocrites, tyrants. Okay, he called one dude, one of his contemporaries, a fox. He said, you go tell Herod that fox. Jesus had a way with words. And I'm telling you, some of these folk around here have been playing some big games on our people's minds. Jesus answered him and said, I've spoken openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. And in secret, I didn't speak anything. And then Jesus says, why askest thou me? Ask them that's heard me what I said unto them. Behold, these know the things that I've said. And in verse 22, and when he had said this, one of the officers standing by Jesus knocked the Lord upside his head, saying, you're going to answer the high priest like this? I know some of you sitting out there would like to put a fist upside my face tonight. Well, they did it to my Lord also. Jesus said, you've heard what I said. They've heard what I've said. I didn't say anything under the table. It's all out in the open. I said it. If you don't know Christ, you will go to hell. I didn't say that to upset you. I said that to spark something innate that's in you, and so that you can at least get in contact with your Creator. If you've never read a Bible, go and buy one. It is yet the greatest book that has ever been written. Oh my God, 40 different authors I meant. It was written over a period of 1,500 years, 66 glorious books, totally inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, no error in it at all. Not one error in this book. And some folk will even question God. How do you listen, my friends? Do you listen with your mind and your emotions? Do you listen even when one doesn't agree? Some of you are calling right now. That's right. Stay on the line. We're going to get you on in just a second. You see, it's difficult to listen when the gospel comes this way. But it's easy to listen when your ears are being tickled. Jesus Christ did not come to this planet 2,000 years ago to tickle folks' ears. As a matter of fact, I read in my Bible, he said, I didn't come here to bring peace, but I came to bring division. I came to set a mother against her daughter. Can you believe that? He said, I came to set a father against his son. Can you believe it? Some of his greatest opposers were attorneys, lawyers. You know, in our current history now, we see lawyers making buku bucks on folks' lives, dead and alive alike. And even the Christian church is more into what's going on in a courtroom than in the courtrooms of heaven. Oh, am I set aflame for God? What do you think, Charles from Anaheim? Thanks for calling.
Well, I think it's nice to hear somebody really talk about the Bible.
Well, I mean, I thought that's what all preachers do, don't they?
Well, some preach other stuff.
Well, they're not preachers then. They're charlatans. They're hirelings. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are fleecing the flock. They're not real. They are called heretic dogs. They are apostates. Did you just hear what I said? I told the truth. Some of them right now, Charles, my brother, are listening to me right now. One of them just got up to try to slam something at the radio and just fell off the chair. Get up, brother. Pull yourself. But anyhow, Charles, what did you call for tonight?
Well, I called about, you're talking a little bit about Independence Day.
Yes.
And we have in our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of this country,
yes,
a statement put in says, we are one nation under God. But we don't act like that. But the statement is true. Because we are either under his guidance or under his judgment. And it's pretty clear right now we're not under his guidance.
Good point. I was listening to something, you know, because everybody's talking about the founding fathers and patriotism and all of that. And I heard an interesting statement somewhere. It was Dr. McGee's sermon this morning, the Sunday morning sermon. I was on the way to church early. And he was saying in a Sunday morning sermon about how some of the founding fathers, how they had a sense of asking God to give them direction. we do not have those kinds of individuals in places of power and authority now.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that are more interested in what, the bank is saying, what the brokers are saying, and all. See, man, God has become our gold. And a great thick book to read would be The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. They have it on video, and I watch it at times, and one of the most outstanding scenes at the end of the movies is when the generals are trying to put in the bid for the fallen city, and I think Sophia Loren was in that movie, and she was screaming out, "Romans, Romans, Romans, what have you done?" And you see, my friend, that is going to be the end of America, because we've taken that way. We've taken that way, man. Young people are more concerned about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers
right.
than Jesus Christ and his beloved disciples in the Beatitudes. And, brother, we have lost our minds when this weekend we're going to send all of our children to see Mighty Morphin the whatever. And if you ask them about Joseph and his coat of many colors, they would say, "Yeah, I stole that thing last week off Joseph's back after I knocked him out." They have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
But, Charles, what we need to do is, like one of those old rotten Bible programs, get back to the Bible.
Well, what we've done is we've started, worshiping ourselves.
Oh, God.
Americanisms. We've turned separation of church and state into separation of everything from God.
Oh, yeah.
And the state and everything is going to come under God's judgment for not recognizing his law
right.
and praying for his grace.
Well, listen, my brother, I think we're about ready to come up on a commercial right now, but I do want to thank you for that statement. And listen, will you continue to listen to the discourses?
I will indeed.
Thank you, my brother. Bye-bye now.
Night.
You're listening to the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA 99.5 FM, the talk of Los Angeles, talking about independence and freedom. I'll be back shortly. The members of the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA 99.5 FM, the talk of Los Angeles. I was just, enjoying that music there. The guy that's doing the music, in case some of you may call and ask, is Anthony Hill. Tony goes to the vet. And he's doing all the music. All the music that you hear is produced by one of the brothers at the Olivet Baptist Church. You may say, "Well, wait a minute, man. I thought that this was a Christian program." It is. And, I just like that kind of music. Thanks. That's real good. I'd also like to share something else with you about our homiletics class that you just heard advertised. In September, we will begin our new homiletics class. That homiletics class is a 23-week course on teaching folk how to be good Bible teachers and preachers. As a matter of fact, this Wednesday night at the church, we're going to have the final exams for the students of homiletics at the church Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. To those of you brothers that I've spoke your name escapes me right now. You brothers are invited to come out to VET to see how these graduating students do. They have to do a 15-minute first-person lesson, and they have to transfer that person from the first century into the 20th century. I'm looking at one of my students across the way now, and he's going crazy because he knows he has to bring them over into the 21st century, and that's going to be a lot of fun. 1-800-350-KKLA. Let's continue to take some calls. Hi, Hannon from Compton.
Yes. Hi, yes. Hi, Brother John.
Okay, brother.
I wanted to make a comment on celebration of this holiday.
Yes.
Yes, it's very dangerous,
yeah.
for people to continue to make the celebrations with the having the children exposed to the dangers of firecrackers and things.
Absolutely.
When what you said is, I don't want to forget exactly what I called for to say that I agree with you that being a Christian, you may commit a sin,
right?
But you don't practice sin.
Absolutely.
And these holidays is what we practice them.
Right.
And if we should practice anything, we should try to practice getting the family together for different types of outings and,
right.
and education.
Absolutely.
I'm reading a book right now, The Sky's the Limit, by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer.
Okay.
And he's explaining in here coping and mastery, panic. And we're suffering from these conditions, panic.
Yes.
You know, and this is why our kids are having mental illnesses and stuff because of cars speeding up and down the street, people shooting guns at night.
Absolutely.
Then he goes to the next stage, coping or striving, you know, which a Christian can strive for, to teach, to have Bible study and to get his family together so they could, you know, live to be enlightened,
right.
you know. Okay, and then coping and mastery. And you're really up there with the mastery. I really enjoy listening to your program.
Well, I'm so glad, Hannon,
that I was inspired to get up out the bed.
Good.
And call you.
Well, good for you. Well, listen,
I'm
brother.
I'm 50 years old.
Well, all right then.
And I also used to live in East LA. I lived on Hooper, between Hooper. I went to Hooper Avenue.
Okay. All right. So you're a contemporary of mine.
St. Odelia, too.
Okay.
Catholic school right off of Hooper also.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Okay,
yeah.
And so, well.
Well, brother, I'm so glad that
Christian,
you.
I was baptized at 14. I was just telling my son the other day.
Yeah.
He had a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
First time I had gone to his Bible study.
Right.
And he asked me to lead the prayer. And
right.
I talk just like I'm talking now, stuttering, trying to find words. But the thing was, is he's trying to do something constructive. I was happy to participate in it. And what you're saying, take a Bible and read that Bible, and
absolutely.
That Bible will give you clarification.
It sure will.
Things. And I told him, he was reading to me, we were discussing, and it came to me, the Lord's Prayer. The will, our Father who art in heaven, how your will be done.
Absolutely.
And it said, and I said, wait. That's what it says. His will. That's what we're asking. And that don't mean it's going to come right now.
Well, Hannon, you know what it is?
It's coming.
It's parents like you that's going to continue to influence our youngsters.
I'm a brother first.
Absolutely.
I used to be from a set. A gang. Not a gang, but a set. We had
walked, standing
on the corner.
I remember that. I remember that.
And we used to protect the girls coming home from school.
Yeah.
But I look at some of the guys I grew up with, and some of them have gotten on drugs. I'm a recovering drug addict.
Right.
I have some of my friends have gotten on drugs, and when I see them,
okay.
I'm trying to help them, but, you know.
My screener's telling me, Hannon, that you've taken a.
Tonight.
Yeah, okay.
I just wish
make it quick.
They would call, they would
make
tune in and listen to your program.
Well, thank
brother,
you.
I love you too.
I love you too now, brother.
Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Good night now.
Good night.
All right. Thank you, brother. We have so many calls, Hannon, and I just wish I had more time to talk, but I just thank God for this second hour here. Steve from the city of Downey. Hi, Steve, and what's your statement tonight on the Olivet Discourses? First time caller, huh?
Yes, my first time.
Well, good. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, first I'd like to say I love your preaching. I think it's like a great wake-up call.
Well, thank you.
And I guess my question, it kind of relates back to something that was going on earlier that you were talking about.
All right.
I've had trouble reconciling a couple of scripture here.
Sure, let's see if we can help you out.
The first one was the John 3:6, how he says...
that which is born in the flesh is flesh, and that which is born in the spirit is spirit.
Oh, sorry, in the epistle, the letters. He says, whoever abides in him and does not sin, whoever sins has neither seen him nor known.
Was that John 3:6 or 1 John? What?
1 John.
Oh, 1 John, I'm sorry. I was looking at... My screener put down, John, okay, screener, I'm going to get rid of you here. You put down the wrong scripture. You had me reading the wrong scripture here. Yeah, see, they can communicate to me what it is. And now they're, okay. they're saying, Steve, that you gave that scripture. And so, okay, so that's 1 John chapter 3, verse 6.
That's right.
Okay, and it says, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. So what's the problem with that?
Oh, not with that, but I'm trying to reconcile that with, and I'm not sure exactly where this was, but they said you'd probably know the exact passage. It was when Paul says he's, the chief among sinners.
For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, now I see what you're saying. Yeah, but you got it. Look, let's keep it within its context. Paul was arguing contextually. Am I going to spend the last 5 minutes talking about this? Oh, no, what Paul was saying, he wasn't saying that he is still a sinner. He was saying that he did not feel worthy. In other words, when it comes to feeling of unworthiness, I am the most unworthy of them all.
So he's just humbling himself.
You know, because if he were just humbling himself, that would be self-righteous hypocrisy. And too much of that goes on in the church, too. He was just saying, I'm going to tell you like it is, man. In terms of the bad guys, I was the baddest guy there was, all right? See, I was the chief bad guy, and his salvation just cleaned up this old scummy guy called Paul. Now, what I'm saying to the church today, lest we can say that we haven't been cleaned up. But what we were saying to our dear brother is that dear brother was saying, yeah, but see, I'm still wrestling with some being scummy. No, you don't wrestle with being scummy. Either you is or you ain't. You see, and I think that that's what Christianity is all about. So did we clarify that for you, Steve?
Totally. Thanks a lot.
How long have you been listening to the discourses?
Actually, for just like a month.
Just for a month?
Yeah.
Well, now, I want you to tell your other friends that we're on the air. And listen, even if you folk don't, you know, send us any financial assistance to stay on the air, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a letter or something.
Okay.
And those, and listen, Steve, thanks for calling, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot for helping.
All right. Bye-bye now. And look, let me say this to those of you that are listening to the discourses. Listen, we would like to hear from you financially also, man. Come on. You know, write the check. I mean, if you, listen. If there was a great crusade coming and they said, oh, we need you to pay for 20 seats. Oh, you'd pay for 40. And now you got a preacher on here screaming, oh, man, that fool's from the middle of South Central. I'm not going to write anything. Man, do I look like a fool to you? You know, no, guys, I'm not going to do that. Anyhow, let me close out the discourses by saying this. It has been our privilege to be on. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have some very special shows. I have some very special Bible teachings that I'd like to share with you for the next 2 weeks. And so for the next 2 weeks, I want you to tune in. But for the next 2 weeks, I will not be picking up the phone. Now, what does that mean? I said that I'm going to give my screeners a break for the next 2 weeks. Hey, listen, you listen in, you're going to hear some Bible studies. As a matter of fact, some of you have been questioning me about, listen, do you just run off at the mouth or do you preach sometimes? Well, what we've done is we have special 2 week shows planned for you, where you're going to, you know, listen to the discourses, and I'll be discoursing to you. And then for that last hour, what we're going to do is we're going to have a sermon. As a matter of fact, the first sermon next Sunday night in the second hour will be on thalipsis. That means tension, pressure. You know, how do you deal with thalipsis and pressure in your life? And in that next week, it's going to be put on the spot. A couple of sermons that I preached at Olivet. But I'm just going to let you know now that, you know, don't hit the button to call, because what we want to do is we want to share something very important with you. We would also like to thank many of you that have been praying for us on this two-hour venture. We have received some fantastic calls. And I am just elated at the response that we've had towards the discourses. We will have other guests on, and we appreciate your supporting us with your prayers. Continue to pray for me. This is not, listen, my day begins at 6 o'clock. I'm at the church at 7, and when I get home tonight, maybe around 1 o'clock, that's it. And then I'm up tomorrow, going to work tomorrow morning. So ministry is not like, oh, I'm off golfing out there with the big preachers. No, I'm not doing that. My screener has on a t-shirt, folks, saying golf, a way of life. Nah, I don't want to do that. Easy's over there golfing. But listen, I want to thank those of you that's been supporting this ministry. Again, let me give you the address in case you'd like to write us. It's 976, just some strange preacher in South Central Los Angeles. You've been listening to the Olivet Discourses. It's been my privilege and pleasure being here. You tune in next week. We'll see you then. God bless you now.
You've been listening to the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church. Thank you for spending your radio time with us. If you would like to send a financial contribution to help keep this type of Bible-based program, bye-bye.
The Olivet Discourses with Pastor John Coleman on the 99.5 FM KKLA Weekend Magazine was sponsored by Olivet Baptist Church.
Yeah, that was
KKLA
time
right now is midnight. Stay tuned for the Sunday night praise and worship show with your host, Anthony Ochoa, coming up next.
That was radio way back in the day. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. It's always a privilege to bring you some of those older radio broadcasts. Just an admonishment, please try not to call the station. Some of those numbers have been disregarded a long time ago. Just to take you back in the past, one of the hottest radio programs on KKLA back in the day, that was Independence Day weekend, 1995, and how to listen to God. A lot of times, you know, we would receive a lot of calls coming in, especially from South Central. Right now, there is no legitimate people on there doing anything, but people on there trying to take your monies. And, you know, we had a great time doing that because we actually never had difficulty collecting funds for that radio ministry. We just stayed on the air. We just kept coming on. And what a privilege to do that. I'm glad that you can listen in. Hey, thank you for supporting me on my website. Keep coming, listening to some of these archive files. Until we meet again, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.